Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be talking about a reported breakthrough in adult stem cell research. The headline, Cambridge team reports safer stem cell technique. We'll find out what it is with Dr. William Hurlbut. Also get his reaction as a member of the President's Council on Bioethics. It's said that President Obama plans to, through executive order, reverse President George W. Bush's 2001 restriction on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research formulated by the President's Council on Bioethics. Dr. William Hurlbut is consulting professor of Neuroscience Institute at Stanford University and a member of the President's Council on Bioethics. Dr. Hurlbut, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
First of all, your reaction as a member of the Council on Bioethics to President Obama's promise to reverse the Bush doctrine on this federal funding for embryonic stem cell research.
Well, I'm not surprised, but I'm saddened by it because I think we can solve this problem without the creation and destruction of human embryos, and I think that would be a better way to do it, regardless of how you feel about the issue. So it strikes me as the wrong approach to sustain social consensus, the wrong approach in a society where we're already divided by too many things. Why do we want to have another division?
Do the reported new techniques for adult stem cell research and benefits from it play into this issue of funding for embryonic stem cell research, in your opinion?
Well, they certainly do, and I think many people in the scientific community expect that eventually the cells that can be produced without destruction of embryos will be perfectly good sources for both medical research and for clinical practices, whatever we may discover the use of these cells to be. And if we just gave more time, attention, more funding to those positive ways of doing the research, I think we would all be better off. And I think science would be better off too, because medicine should be part of our national identity as a noble and progressive effort on all of our parts. It shouldn't be a part of the culture wars. It shouldn't be something where half the population agrees with what's being done and the other half doesn't. It's so much better to sustain consensus while we go forward on this.
What has the Cambridge team reported it has found?
Well, what they've reported is that they can get cells that appear to be quite similar to embryonic stem cells that have many of the powers that were concerned about, want to study, and perhaps use in therapies. They can do this in a way that is apparently medically safe and bypasses the ethical issues because it does not involve the creation and destruction of a human embryo.
So distinguish, if you would, this from previous research. I think about 2006, they were talking about turning the clock back on adult cells and in essence, somehow stimulating them to act like the pluripotent embryonic stem cells.
Well, this is an extension of that work, but the problem with that work reported in 2006 was that it involved viruses that brought the genes in that then transformed the operation of the cell. But the viruses lingered and left the genes in place, and those genes could get turned on in inappropriate ways, and that could result in problems, including possibly cancer. So they needed to get the viruses and, if possible, the whole genes out again once they'd transformed the nature of the cells. Like with most things we do with the body medically, we want to work the transformation and get the medicine out afterwards. And this has now been accomplished in several different labs in several different ways, so it makes the promise of producing these cells in fully functional cells much closer and more realistic, and therefore we shouldn't revert to the old way of getting them, which involves the destruction of embryos. Now, the scientists will argue, yeah, but we need embryonic stem cells to compare these cells, the new cells, to make sure they're the same. And, well, maybe there's some truth to that argument, but the NIH has been funding studies with cells for quite a long time, and private funds can be used to study these cells. And so those comparisons could be done without overturning the longstanding federal policy, which prohibits the use of federal funds for any projects that create, destroy, or endanger human embryos. And that's, I think, the policy we should sustain.
The advocates of embryonic stem cell research have told us that the embryonic stem cell is itself the holy grail of medicine for holding potential cures for so many things. I know that you believe that stem cells do hold great potential and are quite interesting from a research standpoint, but what is the real, in terms of an ethically neutral, ethically positive avenue, what is the real holy grail here?
Well, that may or may not be true, that embryonic stem cells are the holy grail. But embryonic stem cells themselves are an artificial production of laboratory culture. They are probably not the same exactly as the cells that are located in the embryo and go on and do all those amazing things that form a human organism. What happens is you culture them out of a human embryo. You put them on in a culture dish with certain media and nutrients and so forth, and then they develop into these colonies of embryonic stem cells. And most scientists feel that they probably aren't exactly identical, that they're somehow encouraged to grow in a certain way. Having said that, they do have amazing powers, and I've never made the argument that there isn't scientific interest here. But, you know, some scientific projects, no matter how good they are, don't justify the destruction of a human life in process, and that is the argument here.
Do we understand how these cells really do what they do, even when they're in the embryo, much less in vitro?
No, we don't know, and that's, of course, what scientists want to learn. And we could learn quite a lot from studying these types of cells, but it's probably not necessary to get them from embryos to learn those things. In fact, I'm quite convinced we don't have to use embryos in any way to advance the science. It seems to me that it always turns out there are good ways to do things and bad ways to do things. The good way to do this, both socially and morally, is to find alternative methods for the production of functionally identical cells that can do all the good science, all the good medicine, but without breaching that boundary of the destruction of a human life. And I've worked for the last 7 years while on the President's Council to develop such techniques. I'm the author of a proposal called altered nuclear transfer that also works very well. We're now doing it. It's been done in mice. It works perfectly. We're now doing it in monkeys, and it's working very, very well. We can move on to human cells, and we, through that method, can also supply an answer. So there really are answers lingering out there and looming if we would just put the energy into developing them.
Two quick final questions. What's at stake here in the battle over embryonic stem cell research, bottom line?
Well, bottom line is whether we as a society are going to endorse the instrumental use of human life at its earliest stages in scientific research. And once we cross that boundary, it's not just a slippery slope down, it's a crumbly cliff. We're all the way to the bottom. We've already made the principal commitment that we will use living human beings in a project of science. And once we make that, there are no logical stopping points. We will go on to use not just a few embryos, but tens of thousands. They've already used hundreds of thousands in England for projects. And once we do that, it'll be not just many more embryos, there'll be temptations at least to later and later stages. And even if we in our country don't use later stage embryos and fetuses, we will lose all moral authority in the international arena to stop it, because there is no logical stopping point. Once you make an arbitrary designation of 4 days or 14 days or whatever, then somebody else will say 16 days, 18 days. What was your reason? Our reason is this. You see what I'm saying? You will have many, many more projects of much more complicated ethical import as it becomes more and more obvious that we are using a wrong principle to govern our science.
Finally, then, President Obama, in his inaugural address, promised to restore science to its rightful place. How did you hear that, and what is your reaction? With only about 30 seconds, Dr. Hurlbut.
I felt it, I, I don't know all the other issues, but I do know the embryonic stem cell issue, and I have talked with President Bush about this. And I, for whatever else you want to say about all the rest of his science policy, which I don't know a lot about, I will say on this issue, I think he was right, both scientifically and morally. There are ways to go forward to sustain social consensus in our society, and I respect the president for taking the position he did. I think it reflected both courage and wisdom.
Is there a plan, since you and Robbie George still sit on the President's Council for Bioethics, is there a planned meeting? We have an opportunity to speak with the president. We got about 20 seconds.
We're meeting again this week, and I don't know if the president will come and speak with us. I would welcome that. I think he ought to and hear what we have to say. After all, he's going to have to deal with issues over the next 4 years, and it would be good if we could have a chance to give him some of our thoughts as we wrap up the work of the council over the next 6 or 8 months. But, you know, I really think President Obama would be wise to seek what he said in the beginning, move beyond partisan politics. And this issue is one of the opportunities he has to listen to the full American public, honor the views even that he doesn't agree with, and find a way forward that sustains the unity of our society, because there really are ways forward in this.
Dr. William Hurlbut is consulting professor of the Neuroscience Institute at Stanford University, a member of the President's Council on Bioethics. Dr. Hurlbut, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, we've got the last half hour of Issues Etc. straight ahead on this Friday afternoon, the 6th of March. Dr. Donald Calberth is going to be our guest. We'll answer the question, is homosexuality genetic? There's been a lot of research back and forth on a genetic origin for homosexuality, but even if there were such a thing as a gay gene, we'll explore what that might mean if there were in the next half hour, even if there were, that wouldn't necessarily mean that homosexuality is normal behavior or, much less, moral behavior, right behavior, either right for society or for the individual. We'll answer the question, is homosexuality genetic, with Dr. Donald Calberth after this.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
6 days and gays, but what's the connection?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book against racism entitled Darwin's Plantation.
Did you know there's a direct connection between what a person believes about the 6 days of creation in Genesis and the homosexual issue? Christians need to understand this connection, as it really relates to why Western nations are becoming so secular. Back in the early 1800s, the idea of millions of years for the age of the earth began to be popularized. And sadly, many church leaders adopted this millions of years idea and began to reinterpret the book of Genesis. They took the 6 days of creation as being long periods. Over the years, the majority of church leaders reinterpreted more of Genesis based on evolutionary ideas. Now, this compromise actually unlocked a door for future generations to reinterpret other parts of Scripture. And in the end, it's led to a loss of respect for the Bible's authority, which is no longer considered absolute by the culture. Thus, biblical doctrines like marriage are no longer considered to be absolute. Why do we have a major homosexual problem? People just aren't building their worldview on the Bible anymore.
Ken Ham looks more into this important topic of worldviews and scriptures in a co-authored book, War of the Worldviews. If you're wondering what the Bible teaches about abortion, so-called gay marriage, racism, and so on, you need to get this book. All you have to do is present a donation of any size as we close out our week. Call us toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. 888-89-ANSWERS.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.